Well, Martin arrived at Sunday school late. Miss Walter, his teacher, knew that Martin was usually very punctual, so she asked him if anything was wrong. You know, was everything okay? Martin replied, "No, everything's fine." And he replied that he said he had just been fishing, but his dad told him that he needed to go to church. And Miss Walter was very impressed and asked the lad if his dad had explained to him why it was more important to go to church than to go fishing. And Martin replied, "Yes, he did. Dad said that he didn't have enough bait for both of us." I thought that one was funny. My wife told me it was stupid, but... Well, I want you to know that I have traveled all over the world this week. I went from Alaska to the Caribbean, and I was still able to make it here Wednesday for Bible study. The internet can be a wonderful thing at times. So I want to ask a question this morning. How many of you have ever been on a cruise? Anybody ever been on a cruise ship? Yeah, we have a few. All right. I have never been on a cruise. I've always thought that I would like to go on one of those Alaskan cruises, though. I love the idea of all the natural, undisturbed scenery and the wildlife that hasn't been distressed by man. The picture that I've painted for myself of Alaska, it's such a beautiful and peaceful place. And as I was researching this week, I found an ad for an Alaskan cruise, and I want to read it to you. Here's what it says. "From the world-class comfort and detailed service of our cruise, experience the grandeur of Alaska. Enjoy the stunning seascapes as you venture past the Pacific Northwest and Canada before reaching the majestic beauty of Alaska. Once in port, discover natural wonders like Juneau's Mendenhall Glacier and explore historic towns where you can shop and find adventures galore. Let your cruise line vacation transport you to a world of wonder, one that you will remember fondly forever." You know, there are so many features offered on cruises these days, and I was absolutely amazed as I looked at all these different options. You can take cruises that range from paddle wheel river cruises to jumping on board this mega ocean vessel that looks like a large city. It's really amazing. And you know what else I discovered? I found that people take cruises just for the food. I had no idea how crazy cruise ship food could be. I was researching restaurants and menus on various cruise ships, and so many of them have like five-star dining experiences on the ship. And I was going to read a few of the descriptions to you so that you could get an idea of what they were like, but I decided to skip that. So many of them were riddled with all these French words that I can't pronounce, and I'd look like a total fool up here trying to describe this food for you. So I decided to just skip the description. But it wasn't all five-star dining. There were a lot of different style buffets and all-night dining options. And it seemed like if you could dream it, it was available. Well, then we move on to the activities. Did you know that you can take a golf cruise? Now, the ship will dock close to various notable golf courses, and they'll transport you to and from these golf courses, and they take care of all the things that are associated with your round of golf, and they move on to the next one. It's amazing. You know, it's all taken care of for you. I mean, there are cruise ships that have casinos, that have nightclubs, that, you know, different types of lounges, and then there are the ones that focus on family fun. And as I researched different cruises, it seemed to me that the sky was the limit. If you had an idea, someone already made it happen. Well, What is it, do you think, about the idea of a cruise, or even a vacation, for that matter, I guess, that gets us so excited? You know, we look so forward to the time we get to spend on vacation. We spend the whole year thinking and planning of where we're going to go and what we're going to do. We look forward for months as the day approaches that we're going to leave, and we just get so excited about it. Why do you think that we love that so much? What do you think it is about that? Well, I think it's because we do the same thing day in and day out. And the monotony of our work, our jobs, that just begins to wear on us. And all of the normal struggles of family life sometimes just get us down. We look forward to that one week where we can get away and just forget about it all the troubles of our daily lives. We don't have to think about all the stuff that we need to do. We look forward to the week that is just free from all the stress of our regular lives. But the problem is, we know it's only temporary. It's always only temporary. We almost play this little game of pretend when it comes to this. You know, we try to act like the struggles are gone, but we all know they're still there. And we begin this mental countdown as the days pass by of how many days left we have on vacation till we have to go back to reality, the reality of our daily lives and the reality of our problems. So often we find ourselves struggling with a couple things. And it was President James A. Garfield that claimed that that the whole history of humanity could be described as a struggle to answer two questions. How can we gain a little leisure from our toil? And what will we do with that leisure once we get it? Well, it seems to me, as I was thinking about all this stuff, that some of us tend to look at the church like a cruise ship. We want all the luxuries to be at our disposal. And when they're not, we want to file a formal complaint or quit coming to church. We expect 5-star meals and all the latest and greatest entertainment. We expect that someone should have thought of everything and prepared it ahead of time for us. I think I'm going to begin to tell everyone that before you can complain, you have to volunteer. Volunteering is going to be a prerequisite for complaining. Does that sound like a good idea? Well, a lot of times it just seems like folks, you know, want to walk through the front door and they want to say, "Where's my chair? Someone get me my chair and get me something cold to drink while you're at it." You know, we just have that little bit of attitude towards church. We have what I was referring to as the Eunice Howe disease. Anybody ever heard of Eunice Howe disease? Probably no one. It's because I made it up. Do you guys remember the rich guy, the multi-millionaire Thurston Howe III from Gilligan's Island? Well, his wife, her name was Eunice. Anybody remember that? He called her Lovey with that really strong British accent, you know? Well, even though they were stranded on this deserted island, she still expected to be pampered. We want our 3-hour tour at church to be one of luxury. Now, don't get me wrong. It's my goal to provide a top-notch experience for y'all. I want to do church well. I've been talking about that for a long time. I really do want to do church well. But my goal is not for you to have a cruise ship experience. It's for you to leave this building just a little bit closer to Christ than you were when you came in. That's the goal. Sometimes we get into this cruise ship mentality with church, and it's because we're overwhelmed in our daily lives. All those pressures of the outside world just begin to close in on us. We try to balance so much stuff, and it just gets overwhelming to us. You know, we have all the demands of work. There's constant pressure to perform well at work. You know, and good jobs are hard to come by, and there's competition for those good jobs. So that pressure to perform well is always there. Then there's parenting. Parenting is taxing, especially if you're the do-it-all mom or dad. If you're one of those folks that is challenged with running the household and caring for the kids, and you have the cooking, the cleaning, the laundry, the after-school events, and the homework, all of this stuff, it's difficult. And what about marriage? Marriage can be tough when it feels like both of you are headed in different directions. It feels like things pull hard, and it's hard to just keep it together. And it leaves you with that burdensome question: will our marriage ever flourish? Will it ever thrive? Then there's school. Any of you that are in school, you know about this. You're constantly under pressure to perform, and if you don't, you know it's going to affect your future, and it just creates that pressure that's difficult. And sometimes you just want to give up. And for some of you, all of this stuff comes together all at once, and it's difficult. And you don't know how to cope with all of it coming your way. Well, I want you to know this morning that Jesus had something to say about all this. And he wants to show you the answer to being able to deal with all this stuff. So if you have your Bibles this morning, open up to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28, and it says this: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now this morning, I want to look at a few words that are in this passage of Scripture, and I think we can develop a better understanding of what's being said here. In verse 28, Jesus said, "Come." That was his words, "Come." And up to that point, the Pharisees were teaching, "Follow." They were teaching the necessity to follow the law and traditions. But Jesus says, "Come. Come to me and I'll give you rest." You know, now we know that salvation is found only in Christ. To come to him means that you have to trust him. You know, Christ invited all. If you're one of those people that's exhausted and burned out, one of those who's saying, "I'm tired and I can't continue this on my own anymore." If that's you today, then he's talking to you. You see, that's exactly how the people felt that were under the yoke of legalism. That's what the Pharisees were teaching. Jesus said in Matthew 23:4, he said, "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." And in Acts chapter 15, verse 10, it says, "Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" See, the law has always been intended to point us to Christ. The law was intended to make us see that we could never live up to God's expectations on our own. Jesus is inviting us into that personal relationship with him. He's saying, I am the way to peace with God. I am the only one who can reconcile you to the Father. And if you're tired of the struggles, he's saying, come. Come to me. This morning, if all the pressures of life are weighing on you and you don't know Jesus, you feel like there's nowhere to turn. You feel like the pressure to conform to this world is just too much. Jesus is saying, come, and I'll give you rest. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we move on to the next word that I want you to see in verse 29 and 30, I want to look at what Jesus says. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, take. And this is a deeper experience. When we come to Christ by faith, he gives us rest. That's what we were talking about just a second ago. But when we take his yoke and learn, we find rest that is deeper. It's a rest of surrender and obedience to him. The first is peace with God, and the second is the peace of God. Philippians 4, 6 through 8 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. To take the yoke in that day meant to become a disciple. When we submit to Christ, we're yoked to him. That word, easy, means well-fitting. He has the yoke that is tailor-made for each of our lives and our needs. And the burden of doing his will, it's not a heavy burden. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, the third word I want you to see this morning is learn. He said, learn. You know, those first two commandments represented the crisis of belief as we surrender to Christ. But this step is a little more like a process. As we learn more about him, we find a deeper peace because we trust him more. Life is simplified, and our will begins to slowly, day by day, come together with his. So maybe this morning you're saying, what is this? What is the secret to joyful obedience? Well, I want you to know it's to recognize that you're not alone. Obedience is a family matter. We're serving a loving Father while helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are children of God. We love God. And we love God's children. And we demonstrate this by our obedience to him. I read a story this week about a woman who visited a newspaper editor's office. And she was hoping to sell him some of the poems that she had written. What are your poems about? The editor asked. They're about love, gushed the woman. The editor settled back in his chair and said, well, read me a poem. The world could certainly use a lot more love. The poem she read was filled with moons and junes and sticky sentiments. And it was all he could do to even listen. I'm sorry, he said, but you just don't understand what love really is. It's not moonlight and roses. It's sitting up all night at a sick bed, working extra hours to buy shoes for your children. The world doesn't need your brand of poetical love. It needs good old-fashioned, practical love. Well, this morning I want you to know Jesus offered that practical love. First he said, come to me and I'll give you rest. He said, I'll settle this once for all. You'll no longer have the agony of not knowing where you stand with my Father. You don't have to do this and that to cover up sin. He said, come to me and I'll give you rest, because my Father will see me when he looks at you. He'll see me, the sinless lamb, instead of our sin-sickened hearts. Jesus said, I died and paid the penalty for you. How's that for practical love? Then he took it to the next level. When he said, take, he was saying, walk with me. And as you walk with me, learn. And as we walk and learn, your burdens will become lighter as you realize more and more, day by day, that I am in control. And every day you surrender a little more to me. That's practical love. Jesus met us right where we were, right where we are. And he continues to draw us closer. That is practical love. Will you all stand with me? As you stand, I just ask, as always, that you bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. And I just want to talk to you for just a second. You know, maybe today you're one of those folks that haven't given your life to Christ. You haven't trusted him for salvation. But you feel Jesus tugging on your heart this morning. If that's you, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and he died for you. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and that sin separates us from God. But Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave, conquering death. And the Bible says that if you believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. Saved from hell and eternal separation from God. And I want you to know that if you feel Jesus tugging on your heart this morning, this is something we can take care of right here today. And you can leave here and know that you're heaven bound. I'm going to pray, and when I do, this altar is going to be open to you. It's open to you for whatever reason, whether you have a praise to God, whether you have questions in your life, whether maybe you want to serve in this church, maybe you want to become a member. I just want you to come forward, and we'll talk about it, and we'll pray about it, and we'll address it. Whatever the reason is, this altar is open to you. Father, today we come to you and we thank you for who you are. We thank you because you paved the way for us through your Son. Father, so many people face hardships in their lives and they're traveling through this life without the peace that you offer. They don't have Christian brothers and sisters at their side to help them through the hard times. Father, we pray that today you would inspire and convict where necessary. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, we ask that you would touch their heart and show them your love. We pray that your will would be done here this morning. Father, this time of invitation is yours to use as you see fit. It's in Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. Again, this altar is open to you. I would be glad to pray with you if you need me, but otherwise I'll leave you alone.